Do you have your statement?
No.
You want your statement? Huh? You want a copy of it? You got it all?
I'm just a big tease. Hi.
How are you? Ready to go? Is that what you need? Alright, and then I... Alright.
Senator, you gonna stay out of it over there?
We got one more mic.
Gonna move in?
We got one more mic there.
Oh, do you? Alright.
Female, George. Just gonna start first.
Yes, I will.
Okay, just see, we got more on this thing.
All right, that's fine. I'll be moving over to the center. My name is Burl Bernhard, and I'm Staff Director of the Muskie Election Committee. I am announcing today the appointment of Mrs. Merle Evers as co-chairman of the National Citizens Committee for Muskie, a group which is now being formed to work for Senator Muskie's nomination at the Democratic National Convention next July. Mrs. Evers will be a vital part of the Muskie effort. Her leadership in the battle for equal rights, her practical political experience in California, her eloquence, and her understanding of the problems which face all Americans will make her both an invaluable advisor and an advocate for Senator Muskie. We are deeply grateful to you, Mrs. Evers, for your commitment here today and for the contribution we know you will make in the months ahead, and we thank you.
I am pleased to announce my support of Senator Edmund Muskie for the Democratic nomination and to take a personal leadership role in this effort. In a time as crucial as this, I can no longer afford the luxury of standing on the sidelines as a cautious observer. So I have decided to join now in the effort to secure the critical goal of the Democratic Party for the coming year. That is the defeat of Richard Nixon. I believe that Senator Muskie is the Democrat who can unite the country and the party in a new coalition for fundamental change. And I know that as president, Ed Muskie will lead in the struggle to secure justice for all Americans. His honesty and his forthrightness about our problems and his record in achieving solutions both testify to the quality of his commitment. Senator Muskie has supported and worked to strengthen every civil rights bill since he entered the Senate in 1959. He has taken courageous and advanced positions on issues like integration of the suburbs. Senator Muskie has also fought hard for the rights of the majority who are women. The Equal Rights Amendment carries his name as a co-sponsor, while a whole range of legislation to end sex discrimination has his full support. And Senator Muskie has not only talked, but he has also acted. by appointing women to major positions on his staff. But if there is any single reason for my decision, it is Ed Muskie's unique ability to communicate progressive ideas and ideals effectively across the spectrum of American political life. He can lead without losing in civil rights, in foreign policy, and on issues like tax reform and individual liberty. As co-chairman of the National Citizens Committee for Muskie, I expect the committee to advise the senator on critical issues and to aid the Muskie campaign in critical primary and convention states. I hope the committee will enlist the millions of concerned Americans who are ready to start making America a better country for all of us in 1972. I am proud to stand with Senator Muskie for a more decent America, and I will be proud of my contribution to making Ed Muskie the next President of the United States.
Merle, I'd like to say thank you for that, that expression of confidence and support. And I can't say how very much it means to me, and I'm sure it will to my wife. I can't think of a spokesman I'd rather have, speaking to Americans of all descriptions across the country in behalf of the goals and the ideals that I know we share. We've been friends only since last January. I've enjoyed our associations. And if on the basis of those associations you are moved to say what you have here today, I count it a friendship indeed. I ought to make clear to members of the press present that your announcement is not my announcement. That is a step yet to be taken. But I must say that to have your support makes a very persuasive argument with me.
Mrs. Evers, do you hope that your association with the senator in this will offset the remark, the effect that has had in the black community, the criticism generated by the remark concerning the running mate?
No, I really don't see my position as co-chairman as being as of serving the main purpose of offsetting this remark in any way, shape, form, or fashion. I believe very strongly in Senator Muskie, what he stands for, and I feel that he was very strong, honest, and forthright in making that statement. And it's one that Americans who are being realistic have to face up to, not only American citizens, but those candidates for the presidency as well. It's brought the issue out into the open. It's one that has to be discussed and contended with. And I see my role as really being an effective spokesman for Senator Muskie in many areas, not limited just to that one particular statement.
May I say incidentally that Mrs. Evers was at that meeting in Watts. She understands what I said and what I didn't say. What I had to say was a statement of what I believe to be the facts relative to black inequality, political inequality. And all those who heard it understood it in the same way. It was not a decision with respect to the future, but a statement as to the present. It was a statement as a fact not to be accepted, but a fact to be changed. That's what the statement was. I understand that it's misunderstood and has not always been accurately reported in that way, for whatever reason. But that's what it was, and Mrs. Evers heard the statement. She was at the meeting.
Mrs. Evers?
Yes.
Are you concerned by the fact that Mrs. Chisholm said she may enter the presidential primary?
I have spoken with Mrs. Chisholm. I know of her plans, or at least some of her plans. And I understand that she will be entering into the California primary. I feel that in this day and time, that there is a need to have spokesmen to bring issues to the American public that perhaps would not be brought by other candidates. I have great admiration and respect for Mrs. Chisholm and her efforts to try to open up avenues and bring more blacks into the democratic process. But I do feel that perhaps I can best work through Senator Muskie in helping to achieve those same goals. I will be doing that, and I see where there will be really no conflict at all because we are both reaching for the same goals, and that's full of participation of all Americans within the Democratic Party.
Mrs. Edwards,
yes.
You say that the Senator has taken courageous and advanced positions on issues like immigration and suburbs. Mm-hmm. The more current issue in that field is busing. Do you think he has taken a courageous and advanced position on that issue?
Let me say that Senator Muskie has certainly taken a position on busing. One that I believe was taken, if I might mention, in Tennessee, where it was not at all favorable to people there. But again, it was an honest statement of one where he said that he felt that busing was necessary until such a time we could have the quality education for all students and for all young people in America. Now, I happen to agree with that. I am not for busing. I was not for busing when I was put on a bus and bused miles from my home to another school. Busing then was something that was simply a thing to do. No one complained about it until recently, when it has really turned out to be a kind of vehicle, a kind of smoke screen to really cover up what the main issue is, and that is quality education for all young people in America today. And for the Senator to take a stand in an area where it was not at all popular to do, I recommend him for that, and I think he deserves the respect of all of us for taking a stand that was not exactly popular in an area where he knew it would not be. Again, I say it's that kind of honesty and forthrightness that makes me feel very good in working for Senator Muskie.
Senator Muskie, are you concerned by Mr. Jackson's forthcoming announcement of his candidacy?
I'm not taken by surprise. I'm not sure I heard your question.
I say, are you concerned by his entering the field?
No. I'm not concerned about that either.
Senator, are you able to account for the fact that you are reading the Gallupo and trailing Harris poll among Democrats vis-a-vis Senator Kennedy? Have you done an analysis of that?
Well, yes. I always find it easier to justify polls that are favorable than those that are unfavorable. That's the first rule of analysis of any poll. You find a much stronger basis for it. Secondly, you have to look rather precisely upon the nature of the sample that was taken and the question that was asked, and that sometimes helps. But I must say these last two are the most difficult ones to reconcile that I've seen up to this point since the polls just before the Republican National Convention in Miami in 1968. You'll recall that one poll showed Mr. Rockefeller ahead, and the other poll showed Mr. Nixon ahead, and the two pollsters got together and said they were in agreement. Well, it becomes very difficult. Yes, we do analyze these things, and there are differences. The most obvious difference, of course, is that the Gallup poll on Sunday was a direct head-to-head poll. The Harris poll was a laundry list poll, and that makes a difference. Whether there were differences in the samples is something that we can't perceive from the outside because we're not a party to the, to the rationale that went into the samples. But I like the polls, especially the ones that are favorable. But really, you know, the one that counts is a year ago, last Tuesday, or something like that.
Well,
Well, do you think Senator Kennedy is going to be calling here?
He has said not, and I found Senator Kennedy to be a truthful man.
Mrs. Edwards?
Yes.
Senator Muskie is going to visit the mayor-elect of Philadelphia, Mr. Rizzo, sometime next month. What do you think he should say to her?
Well, today, today is the first few hours or so of my serving in something of advisory capacity. And I am sure that the senator will say good morning or good afternoon to him, whichever it is. And as far as the other part of the conversation is concerned, that is something that will have to be discussed. Right, Senator? Well, actually, I have found his handling of that situation and others there just a little difficult to take personally.
Senator Muskie, at the news conference Friday, President Nixon said that, that the country got into Vietnam as a result not of sliding into it, but a conscious decision by two Democratic presidents, Johnson and Kennedy, and that it was, and that that was a mistake. Those were mistakes. Do you agree with that assessment?
Well, the decisions that got us involved in Vietnam in one way or another began, I guess, right after World War II, and included four presidents in one way or another, President Truman, President Eisenhower, President Kennedy, and the current president, President Nixon. So they've all been involved, and indeed, President Roosevelt, if we're to believe the history of his period correctly, was of a mind that we ought not to get involved there, and that we ought not to get involved especially in helping the French to reestablish themselves in Southeast Asia following World War II. Well, we changed course there, apparently, in connection with our desire to bring France into the NATO alliance in Europe, and so presidential decisions have influenced our involvement there ever since. Now, there are, of course, different schools of thought as to how you string those decisions together to show the continuity of our involvement. I mean, if it was President Nixon's intent to put the entire blame for our present involvement upon Democratic presidents, I think he'd have difficulty, from my point of view, sustaining that thesis. And my own view is that what we ought to be concerned with is not the blame, which history alone will ultimately fix, but the question of what we do now to get out. Whether we do disengage fully. I think this is the question that we face now. History has got plenty of time to fix the blame, all of the blame, upon all those involved for our present dilemma in Southeast Asia.
Senator Muskie, how do you, what are your feelings about Senator Long's amendment to check off a dollar for a political?
Well, I like it now as I did before. I'm not sure that it helps the cause of that amendment for me to be too strongly for it publicly, but I've never felt as optimistic about the yields that it would produce as some of those who sponsored it, but I've always felt it was an experiment we need to try if we're to get any kind of public support, broad-based public support, for these enormous election costs.
They claim $20 billion. How much do you think?
Well, I think at one time the claims were as optimistic as $40 billion. I don't think that, $40 million. I didn't believe that. $20 million may be in the ballpark.
Senator Muskie, getting back to the Vietnam discussion, he made that statement at a press conference in which he announced another withdrawal of 45,000 over December and January. When he announced his previous withdrawal, criticized or said that he was using withdrawal programs politically. Now he's
Well, I'd be interested in, you know, defense of the proposition that he isn't aware of the political implications of such announcements. Obviously, there are political implications. He wouldn't be an intelligent man if he didn't understand them, if he didn't take them into account. I'm sure also that he wants to reduce the American involvement and eventually to withdraw on the merits from the point of view of the interests of the American people. My disagreement with him is as to the tactic and what he has in mind for the long term. For the first time, what impressed me about the announcement last week is not the reduction of 45,000, which is a welcome reduction, but the fact that for the first time, openly and officially, he gave support to the idea of a residual force, which means indefinite, long-term involvement in Southeast Asia. That, I think, is what we need to focus on. Now, what the purpose is of shorter time spans between announcements as we get to them, from a strategic point of view, I don't know. The only one I can speculate about is that he hopes that this will build the pressure upon the other side to negotiate in Paris and to reach a settlement. Well, I've never seen pressure applied to anything, a piece of wood or anything, by backing off a screw. You know, President Johnson tried it the other way, put pressure on by tightening the screw. Now President Nixon is backing off the screw. Well, it doesn't seem to me that really applies pressure, but I gather that's what he has in mind.
They haven't been determined as yet. The committee is in the process of formation, and as soon as they are, they'll be announced.
How many?
That hasn't been decided.
Well, I have to take your description of his handling. I haven't studied that closely. That doesn't strike me as something I could applaud. But if I were to speak only to people who agree 100% with my views across the board, I wouldn't be talking to very many people. And we could end this whole exercise now. My purpose in calling Senator Rizzo, Mayor Rizzo, was to offer my congratulations to a man who'd won an election. And I expect I will be talking to him. I have no agenda in mind, no subject in mind. If such a meeting is actually set up, I assume I'll have some questions in mind, or some subjects in mind.
Senator, do you believe the White House is playing politics with your water quality bill?
Well, it's difficult to escape that conclusion when it's clear that the White House is opposing a provision that one of its principal grounds for opposition is a provision which rests pretty largely upon a policy that the White House itself developed, and that is the permit system for controlling the discharge of effluents into navigable water. The White House invented this system under the Refuse Act of 1899, and what disturbed us at the beginning of consideration of the legislation last year was that that new system, new permit system, was inconsistent with current law, the Water Quality Standards Act, and inconsistent with the administration's proposal for amending that law. And for months, we asked the administration to give us recommendations to conform the two so that we could write a law that would take into account the new permit system and also the water quality standard system. And it took us over a year before finally we were able to reach agreement with Mr. Ruckelshaus on the form of the new policy. And that new policy is found in the Senate bill. It was adopted unanimously by the Senate committee without any opposition from the President's own party, unanimously by the Senate without any opposition raised on the floor of the Senate by a spokesman for the President, and yet now the administration is seeking to gut that provision indirectly by bringing pressure on the House committee and members of the House. So what other conclusion can I draw than that for some political reason, the administration is backing off its own program?
Mr. Senator,
The senator and I have not discussed that issue at all, and I will simply state that I personally would find it difficult to vote for him.
I don't know that I really want to go back to it literally, but I'd be glad to go back to the subject.
Unless you want to tell us how you're going to hold that. You mentioned the fact that the president, for the first time, opposed the brief proposition, and we'll have a committee of course to be announced. What is your feeling about this? What do you think our policy should be? Do you think you find this a disagreeable idea, a residual force? Do you think, what is your own view on that subject?
Well, the word disagreeable isn't one I would use. I don't think it's a wise idea. I've committed myself for, well, I think 2 years to a date for final and total withdrawal. And I believe that. I believe that if the president had used that as a diplomatic initiative, that by this time he could have negotiated a ceasefire and whatever other measures would ensure the safe withdrawal of our remaining troops, as well as the return of our prisoners of war. And I felt for all of that 2 years that whatever the merits or demerits of our original involvement in South Vietnam, that we had bought for them all the time we could afford to buy, and that they had had all the time they could reasonably ask us to buy to establish their own viability as an independent nation. That our obligation was to our own people to withdraw, and theirs to assume the responsibility for their own future. Now, I've felt for these 2 years that if such an initiative had been taken, that we could have negotiated the points I've already stated, and that in addition, in the process of negotiating those points, we might have laid the basis for a political arrangement between the two Vietnams. Now, that's been my view for 2 years. The president's announcement of a residual force is inconsistent with that position, and I think unwise.
Thanks, Bob.
Well, thank you all very much.
Excuse me, let me ask you to read one.
What time is the roll call?
May I ask you to read this again?
Okay. I had been to the doctor with an infection in my fingers, and I came here late. I would love you to read this.
Excuse me, Senator, could we just ask you one?
There's a roll call vote. I got 4 minutes.
All right, fine. Thanks.
You want really to read this?
Yes.
See you,
Excuse me.